Okay, good evening. Mem Gimel on the base actually. Right, a couple of points here. Number one, I'll come to the Marams where it is in a second. But this vort that I quoted about the Eliyahu coming both as a Malach and coming back in the human body, etc., that thing. The one who says it, I don't think I did say who it was, but I saw today, so it sort of jogged my memory. It's the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer is the one who says it. It's an absolutely phenomenal piece.
Says what?
This thing about the Eliyahu coming in two different forms. He can come as a Malach and he can come as a...
Right.
He uses it to answer various questions, some of which we mentioned. There's another kasha based on a Tosfos later on, but predominantly he says, what do you do with the fact that Eliyahu comes for Bris on Shabbos? How does he manage that? How does Eliyahu on Pesach, you know, what's going on there? One part, I think he asked that as well, going from different houses. How does that one work? I think he possibly meant, yeah, he talks about the fact about Eliyahu paskening halacha, the fact that we see that Eliyahu is subject to halacha. How does that all square? He says, it's based on this idea that there's Eliyahu as a malach and a chalami. As a malach, he can journey as far as he wants. He's not subject necessarily to halacha as we understand it. He's definitely not going to paskin halacha. However, these gemaras which we're talking about, where he does seem to be subject to all of that, that's when Eliyahu comes back into the guf that he left behind when he left this world. Because we know he ascended in fire, he left the guf here, and that guf was left for him to be able to come back to. He has one nekuda, which I think is genius. I mean, it doesn't mean Chasam Sofer was genius. Anyway, he says like this. He says, why Mitzvah Shabbos, we know there's a big thing about Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu and Samiris about Eliyahu. Why not Mitzvah Yom Tov? So Chumin applies Mitzvah, you know, on Yom Tov as much as Shabbos. The reason why we do it on Mitzvah Shabbos is because he couldn't have come on Shabbos because of this whole thing. Well, he can't come on the Yom Tov either. See, he says a very, very interesting thing. He says, Be'etzem Eliyahu, theoretically, could come on Yom Tov. Why? Because, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about Eliyahu Malach HaBris, or are we talking about Eliyahu in the physical body?
The physical body.
So where is he now? Right now, he's in Gan Eden de la Mato. Wherever Gan Eden is, we don't quite know where it is, right? But they sit across the Sambatian or whatever it is, but wherever the Sambatian is, that's the right the river where it stops on Shabbos. So he's in the Gan Eden de la Mato. So he says like this, we know Benohar Yotzei Me'Eden. There's a river that comes out of Gan Eden. Where does that river go? That river goes to other waters and it joins up with other bodies of water. And theoretically, therefore, a person could go down that river through all the oceans, etc., etc., and he should be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. He's got to be able to get to the Lishkas HaGod. He's got to be able to get all the way there. The problem is the Mei Gichon, right? The Mei Gichon that Be'etzem would be all the way there into Yerushalayim. That's another one of the things Chizkiyahu did. I was telling you yesterday about the six things he did, which you may or may not have liked. That's the Matthias. One of them was gone on a safer voice. Another one was, and this one, he was not, the Chachom did not praise him for, is Sosam Mei Gichon. He blocked up the waters of Gichon. So now, the waters of Gichon, that's why there is no water there. So on Shabbos, Eliyahu can't come. Because remember, coming down water, remember what we said? Tchumin, there's no issa of tchumin deraisa on water. Tchumin on water, according to the Rambam, is only derabanan, because it's not a place which is similar to Digin Midbar. You can't walk there. So it's only derabanan. But on Shabbos, he's got a problem. He can't get all the way just by going by water. On Yom Tov, he can. Because Shittas Tosfos is that we apply mitoich, and since Boina and Soser, for food matters is mutter. You're allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov, which is using Boina. That's a malach on Boina. So therefore, on Yom Tov, Midor Raisa, he's not Midor Abonim, but Midor Raisa, he would be allowed to unblock the whatever's blocking the waters of Gichon. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, potentially Eliyahu could get there on Yom Tov by going down the waters. Shabbos he can't, because he can't unblock it.
But the Gemara mentions Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Gemara actually mentions Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah, but that's because he's going to come to that. That's Moshiach. That's something else. It did occur to me, but that's Moshiach. So, unless you say if Moshiach's there as well, he should be able to take the same thing. I don't know if he's in the same place. Moshiach's not necessarily. We say at the gates of Rome, we talk about, but then say that those gates are really kind of, I don't know.
Is Moshiach coming in the Guf or as a Malach?
No, Guf.
So what's the difference then between that and
Eliyahu? It depends where he's coming from. If he's in a place where there's water to get him out, so that's one thing.
Moshiach is someone from this world, though, isn't he? Will be somebody from this world.
Yeah, I mean, there's Moshiach when they talk about it as well. Moshiach when Yisrael has to come first as well. But okay, but that's what the Chassam Sofer says. Right? Nice chap there. And there he says that's why on Mitzvah Yom Tov we don't sing Zemiris about Eliyahu because it's not it isn't the same as Shabbos.
So you could be
Boina
on Yom Tov.
Yeah. With the Raisa. You can be Boina.
It's a, well,
don't get any ideas because the Rabbana could be different, but.
It's just interesting you could do that.
Yeah, there's no audio electricity shilas according to the
Hefer
hedge,
isn't it?
So
it's
only
small basis.
Yes.
But yeah, because the answer is a big issue with electricity anyway. Light's not so much. That's interesting. You never thought of that.
The Gemara mentions Mashiach ben David, but not Mashiach ben David.
I know, that I think is talking
about.
I think that's going to be there, yeah. Okay, that was one nekuda. The other nekuda is the big one. As just mentioned it briefly, I did have a look into this whole thing of the Machlix Ma'ari Beirav and the Maharal Bach. I'll just give you a little bit of background. It is actually quite fascinating the whole back and forth. Basically, what happened was. There have been at the time. I don't even know who brought it out. Somebody basically, it's at the end of the Shuvos of Maharal Bach. He's got a contrast there on this subject. This whole controversy over recreating the Sanhedrin, etc. And so somebody put it more recently into a separate. So it's now over 400 or 500 pages. The whole thing. Because they've got extra things in the back. Actually, the contrast in is maybe a couple of hundred pages. But so he says there's been three people who have gone through the history of it. He says the first one, he says, is most of it, a lot of it is nonsense.
Who put it together?
I don't know. I didn't even look at the name. I was just reading through his introduction and things like that. And he says the first one basically, he's got it all wrong. And he says it's sheker, a lot of it. He says the one which was more... A lot of the way he built up the whole story. He's made assumptions and hashor... No. There are three people who have researched throughout the ages, whatever it is, who have researched, maybe more recently, I don't know, who have researched this whole controversy and have written on it, written at length on the subject. And he names them. The first one, I can't remember the name offhand, he says was somebody says he got it all wrong. He says it's all sheker. Right, not all, but a lot of it's sheker. He says that there was one which was the best of the lot. But like I said, I was reading this person, I didn't even check who it was. Okay, whoever it was. And but the first part, I didn't go read the second part. The first part, he says these he can quote you, basically chapter and verse where he's getting it from. And he's effectively building up the picture as it seems to have gone. What happened was the following. That during that time, maybe as you said, the Maranos, it makes sense. That basically what had happened was there was a big surge of people, Baal Teshuva movement. People wanted to do teshuvah. They'd been serving Avodah Zarah, and they were scared because they were Chayav Koris.
Oh, the same story.
No, this is before the teshuvahs, so that's why. This is clear from the teshuvahs, That what happened was, so they came along, and they said, look, we know the Gemara says in Makos, elsewhere as well, Kim and Shelocho, right, we learn from Nikolo Chichol Einecho, once a person with Chayav Koris gets Malkus, he's now Potter. If he gets Malkus, he's Potter from Koris. So they came along, and they said, we want you to give us Malkus. We said, we can't give you Malkus, you need a Sanhedrin for that, right? So they pressurized, and eventually they said, fine, you know what? Let's see what we can do. So the Rambam writes, now this is where it all begins, because in Pirush HaMishnayos, he seems to be very quite adamant that you can reinvent it. But you've got to have smicha. How do you go about that? So he says, when you get all of the chachomim of that time to agree on one person, they can agree on one person, basically, that he effectively gets, if you want, the first smicha, and then he can give smicha to others. And then in Mishnah Torah, it's a little bit, he leaves it sort of sorech ian at the end. That's where it says sorech hechrei or something like that. And that's really where the question mark is, what happened there. But okay, so what they did was, they decided altogether to appoint the Mahari Bei Rav. Now the Mahari Bei Rav, he was the just give you an idea, he was the Rebbe of the Marbit. Okay, arguably the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. I say arguably because it does seem it was the Rebbe. On the other hand, the Chidor points out there's doesn't seem to be possible for various reasons. So, but he was the Rebbe of many Gedolim. He was a big name. Fine, I think Migrosh Sfarad, right from the Spanish. Definitely one of them. Definitely without question, one of them. Fine. So he was appointed, and he took a. He ended up having to run for his life, right? Because you'll see him more than once, and that's why he decided to take. He didn't wait around, and he did give smicha to various people, such as the Marbit, the Beis Yosef, to the Al Sheikh. There's a whole list of at least about 10 of them in the end. Now, what happened was, this is just the interesting part, maybe a little bit of conspiracy theories here, why he did this, but it's clear that initially he wanted it kept very hush-hush, right? Now, the theory behind it is because he was in Tzfas. The main sort of person in Yerushalayim was the Maharal Bach, right? So he was, Maharal Bach was the big one in Yerushalayim, and the Maharal Bach and the Mahari Bei Rav didn't, when it came to learning, didn't quite get on, right? They had a lot of disagreements. Correct, I'm talking about before this, yeah. There were stories with Gittin, and there was, right? Again, in learning, but they, a bit like the Baal Amor and the Mohammeds, right? They were always, they didn't. So the theory is that the Mahari Bei Rav didn't want the Maharal Bach to hear about this because he knew the chances are whatever, he's going to disagree. Nonetheless, the people in Tzfas, they felt, no, you can't go ahead with that. You've got to have agreement all around. So we have to, Yerushalayim's a big center. We have to go to them. So what he did was he had a big Talmud in Yerushalayim, the Radak or something like that. I think it was Ramadak. I think it was, and then there was Maharal Bach. It wasn't a Talmud, and he sent to his Talmud, I think, you know, asking that whether you know he agrees to this, and I think possibly also conferring on him, smicha. I'm not sure. And the Maharal Bach, he didn't ask whether you agree. He just sent him a smicha letter.
He sent his Talmud. Who did he give smicha to? His Talmud.
No, he zither gave smicha to the Maharal Bach.
This is his.
Maybe he recognized him as a god. There's no question about it.
So he set up. So he already set up the base
there. Oh yeah, yeah. He's already been, as it were. Sent his Talmud asking for, do you agree to it? Now the theory is because he relied on the fact his Talmud's not going to disagree with him. He's not going to ask Maharal Bach for agreement. The main point is, he just had to be able to show that, see, in Yerushalayim, we asked and we got Haskoma. So therefore, of course he went to the Talmud, because if you go to Maharal Bach, the whole thing's going to unwind. We're going to be back to square one. So, but he wanted to show Kovod to the Maharal Bach, and the Maharal Bach was a Baruch. He didn't do it just to flatter him. The Maharal Bach was a god, and there was no question about it. He was Zichor Roy Likas.
Was it a Talmud of Maharal Bach, not his own Talmud?
No, his own Talmud.
Still a bit.
Yeah, correct. As I said, some of this is a bit conspiracy theory, but that's he definitely did that. The question is why. That's what they think. Fine. What happened was, he didn't quite expect the response. The Talmud was shocked. What are they trying to do? And he wrote back a response, which he kind of read. The Maharal Bach knew nothing about this. At least the Maharal Bach claimed he knew nothing about the response of the Talmud, because the Talmud didn't want to openly be against his Rebbe, but he didn't understand what was going on. The Maharal Bach wrote back rejecting the smicha and said he's not taking the smicha, and saying he doesn't. That was, I think, the first contrast he wrote back. You know, what's going on? He disagreed with the whole thing. You can't do this. Fine. In the meantime, the Mahari Bei Rav had printed he'd written his Igeres Hasmich, I think he called it, basically explaining what he was doing, and then he receives this back. So he wrote to his Talmud an absolutely scathing letter, right? It's he wrote there, he said, I wanted to put you in Cherem, but they prevailed upon me not to do that, and therefore that's why he says the chutzpah and azizponim you have to disagree with your Rebbe. He was right. You see, because the arguments of the Ma'ari Beirav and the Ma'ar al-Bach were very, very similar. So it looked like they'd actually been working together. That was also part of the thing. Whereas the Ma'ar al-Bach came to you knew nothing about it. And Bekitza, then there was a back and forth, and it got more and more heated. And it became very, 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 well, not personal. When the Ma'ar al-Bach printed it, when he printed this whole back and forth, it was over three things that are conscious in there of the which way around Ma'ar al-Bach, I think it was three. But Bekitzer, when he printed it, he indicates that he has regrets over the strong language he used, and he basically says that is the derech of Torah. He says you have to take the borrowing the lashon of the Gemara in Chagigah, you take the fruit in the middle and you just disregard the outer cleavage. In other words, don't read too much into the language. That's Kachi Darko Shal Teira, and he refers to the Ma'ari Beirav as Moreno Rav. There's no question about it, they respect each other as good. They have differing views. Now, one of the things which sort of came out of this is, number one, there was a whole disagreement there about, but the Rambam said, Kol. That's one of the big things. You need all the Chacham. We didn't agree. You didn't ask us. We didn't agree. And part of the thing is, by the way, some of the people in Tzfas, they backtracked as well, but they got nervous once they heard what the Ma'ar al-Bach had to say. So they did a second thing of conferring it, it sounds like. But as I haven't gone through everything, I was just sort of having a bit of a look today.
Well, even if it says Kol, but you've got after a rabbit and a hat or something.
So this was the question. The question was, is Rov enough? That was one of the disagreements. Some said yes, some said not.
There was a Rov
in Tzfas. Yeah. I don't think they questioned that. But the question is, if the Rambam stressed Kol, like, well, don't need to tell me Kol. Acharam answers. If the Rambam writes Kol, maybe over here you need Kol. Right? Maybe yes, maybe not. That was one of the debates. One of the kuddas is, and this was another thing, is why did the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, he says the Moshe at the end of it, Sorech Echrei Abadova. So they say, that was, again, the Ma'ar al-Bach. They said, because the Rambam, he was somewhat chosen from what he wrote in Pirush HaMishnah. Dahainu, he wasn't so sure about it so easy to do. Now, one possibility is, I don't know if he said because of the Kol, but one of the things they said is, and this is what's relevant to us, is because the Rambam wrote in Pirush HaMishnah, why do I believe, he doesn't bring the courage for it, it's what he believes that you can do this. He says, because otherwise, how are we ever going to have a Sanhedrin in the future? If you can't do this, then Smich has been lost forever.
Until
Mashiach, or? No, it's been lost forever. How are you going to ever start it again? That was the question. Now, the problem is, they say, but what do you mean? Eliyahu had Smicha, right? And he's not gone. So when Eliyahu comes, whenever that's going to be, he can give the Smicha. Question one. The Radvaz writes in a Teshuvah, he also cites in the Ma'ar al-Bach. He says, in the future, from the 10 Shavuotim, they're going to come back. Maybe they've got people there who still got Smicha. Who says the tradition was lost there? Maybe it was passed down there. They do talk about, no? They do talk about these 10 lost tribes, then practicing. I don't think it's there. You know, there's the whole story with the over the Sambatya. The person who went over the river Sambatya. And he found them practicing. I think he found them practicing the things. That, yeah, Kanira. Maybe he says. Who says they've lost the thing? Maybe they'll come back and provide it. That's the Radvaz's question. So, and they say maybe that's why the Rambam reconsidered, because he said maybe it's not so poshut. That was the Ma'ar al-Bach, that school. They said, who said that it's the Rambam himself may have reconsidered. Then there was the whole question. The Ma'ari Beirav, back to that, that's what's relevant to us, he says, Eliyahu can't do it, because he's a malach. He can't convert the smicha.
No, it's a
Tere Lema Shamayimi. Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah?
No, what's the answer? According to what we're saying over here.
Dual
identity. Right? So therefore, according to that.
This was the Chasam Sofer who was originated this idea of dual identity.
I've seen it quoted elsewhere, but I don't know if it was quoted in the Chasam Sofer.
Because that's already somewhat after this coming up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But you can see the Mahari Bei Rav took on as a Dovah Posh, and he's coming back as a Malach. It's all Malach.
Yeah.
So all these questions come in. So, as I said, then, this is not what they talk about there, but the question is, so when is Eliyahu going to convert? And this is where we come to our sugya. This is where I would bring it in from our sugya. And this is like the first time you see an absolute sort of, on the face of it, a raya, what seems to be a raya, to the idea of the Rambam, like the Maharat Tzchiya says, that we are able to do it even without Eliyahu. Because when Eliyahu comes, there's going to be the base in our Gadol. Now again, from the Gemara itself, no. Who's the base in our Gadol? Maybe the base in our Gadol means Badat. But when you look at the Ritzvah, it sounds like the base in our Gadol means the Sanhedrin, and it already exists before Eliyahu comes. There is a talk about whether Eliyahu will come twice as well. Okay, but put that to the side for a second. The only thing is, once again, it's possible that if we're talking about that Eliyahu is coming as the human being, and Chalom, you could do it before he comes to be Mavaseta. If you've got all these Gilead Eliyahu throughout the Gemara, maybe. Again, the idea of the Rambam, right? I'm just saying this, right? I'm just saying now, is that if you say, okay, it can't be when he's a Malach, but okay, Eliyahu comes, Gilead Eliyahu comes as a human being. When he comes as a human being, that's all the Gemaras we see where, as the Chasam Sofer says, he was a Chochom Gadol. Because that's, you know, he was the...
Chasam Sofer said, on the basis of his experience.
No, based on the Gemaras and Bob, see, you've got various Gemaras.
Because he had Gilo of Elio, didn't he?
That as well, but not that. I mean, maybe he doesn't write that, but...
But he would say that.
Correct.
It's obviously a Chochom Gadol, it's not for him to sort of say it.
It's interesting, the Mari Bei Rav, by the way, because one of the things Maharal Bach must have challenged the Mari Bei Rav is... He says, the person who, even if you take on the Rambam, yeah? He says, the Rambam is very clear. It's got to be somebody who is really the absolute Schwitz. So the Mari Bei Rav, he was forced to say, he writes back and he says, basically, do you know who you're talking to? He didn't write it like that. But he says, I'm a person. He says, I've been careful all my life. Not because there must be some accusation about Chilul Hashem. Never ever to create Chilul Hashem, the Aleph Atov. He says, I was... Because they say you can work out, because they don't know exactly when he was born, Mari Bei Rav and the Marabach either for that matter. But they say he went at the time of the expulsion from Spain.
Or was he from Spain?
Yeah, that they seem to know. And they say he must have been a maximum of 18. Why? Because he says he went from there, I think, to Pez, not Pez, was it? I don't know if it was Pez. I think it was Pez. And he says he was appointed as the Rav over 5,000 Mishpachos there. He says, well, a lot of Chachom Gedolim. He says, I didn't even have a proper beard at the time. And I was the one who was paskening at 18 years old, maybe even before 18. I was paskening all these Shilas. And he says, basically, he talks about it with his praise. And he says, I don't want to say much more, but in other words, don't think that I can't be that person the Rambam was talking about. It's not. Why not? He was saying it, but he's got to recognize who he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. It's just fascinating the dialogue there, but the Kinsa, you could have Eliyahu coming. That would be a question according to this, right? Eliyahu, yes, that's Marav Achstaina. He could come, yeah. At any point, he could come. If he's Taka, he's got that Smicha. He never disappeared, as it were. He could come and start it off. Yes, you can start it off before Eliyahu comes in that final to be Mavaseh Tzayin. Yeah, but not yourselves. There's no riot to the Shitta the Rambam.
Right?
Now again, in terms of the Radvaz's Taina, that you'd have to check. I don't think he Taina's the 10 lost tribes are going to come back before Moshiach. So then in which case, that wouldn't be a Taina from this Gemara, because this Gemara indicates, according to the Ritzvah, if you take on before we come to our answer, that's debatable now. But okay, let's go with the Maharat Tzchiyas. It's a Raya that before Moshiach comes, so that wouldn't be a Taina. Unless you're going to say that, I don't think Radvaz is Tainering that they'll come beforehand. The Maharal Bach's own Taina, then Eliyahu could come and do it. I don't think it was timing before Moshiach comes. You think, okay, when Moshiach comes at that time, so afterwards Eliyahu will set up the it's no rather we can do it. There'll be somebody there to do it. So either, but the question is, from this tomorrow's mashma, it could be before. No, it's a riot to the Rambam. So to that we could say no. He could come beforehand to Gideon Yoel, and he could do it then. But that's one possibility. However, with what we said yesterday, I thought that was a beautiful chup. When we looked at the Ritva didn't actually, it's not, you could read the Ritva completely differently. And with the way we read the Ritva yesterday, those two lines, not only is it not a raya, it's not a raya that you could do it beforehand, right? Before Eliyahu comes. Pumfaket. It could even be a raya that when Eliyahu comes, you could even read it, there won't be a Sanhedrin there. That's why, because the Ritva had share, what do you mean he's going to go to the Beis Hagadol? Which Beis Hagadol? So says that the Ritva says he'll go to the Mokum of the Beis Hagadol. And Hogufon, like you're saying, maybe to set it up. That's where he's going to begin from, because as we said yesterday, that is the basis for the Beis HaMikdash, Har HaMoriah. And as I said, if you want to put it all together now, with what the Shefa Tal said. You can say as well, it could also be a possibility when Eliyahu comes, Eliyahu Mevaseh Toiv, he will bring with him that light of clarity. And with that set up, the Sanhedrin, however you want to say, you could follow on from there. So as I said, this Gemara comes out as a very central thing. I saw it one table quoted, they didn't quote it there, because this is later on, the Maharaj Shias came afterwards. Because I thought, okay, maybe there's loads of rayas, this is just one. So if you're going to make a shir, you're just going to pick one because we're learning Erevin. I don't think there's loads of rayas on this. Most of what goes back and forth is logical arguments. You know, because the Rambam was saying, who's going to set up smicha? Elamai, it's a raya, so it's what I'm saying. To that they say, well, and Yahu Radvaz says, Aseres HaShavot, and again, these are all possibilities. You've got no raya. Then you got the time that Eliyahu was—he's a malach. Okay, then you got this, but you come suddenly to this Gemara and you suddenly say, "Well, hold on a second, says the Maharaj Chias. They call it a raya musuka. I saw what they call it. Such a sweet raya, beautiful. But based on this Ritva,
he's based on the Ritva. But it's not so clear. You're not so convinced that the Ritva says that.
I think there's another way of reading the Ritva, which I think is a very good. Again, you could debate it. You could read the Ritva equally in two ways. Yeah. Okay. Fine. I haven't finished going through it, but it sounds like, it does sound like, it did sort of, it's not sure it just died like that. It did go for a few years, that smicha did.
Well, it did have a few, also.
He definitely gave smicha. They definitely had that smicha, yeah. Reb Chaim Vital was another one in the list there, Reb Chaim Vital. I mean, it's a big name there. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I remember there was a...
I think that's what they said, it was supposed to be a Sanhedrin. They got nowhere. I don't know who they went to, Hassanisha. They got nowhere, but they got anywhere.
Yeah, that's not connected at all to the what they call the Beis Hagadol today. Rabbi Yasha was on, and I know that was also controversial, but I think he asked for a Bengus. The whole concept, because can you overrule it? That was to do with a different question. The whole concept, we have an English law that you can go to a higher court and appeal and they can overrule another. How can you do that if you've got a Beis Din who are qualified?
But is it how the Beis Din Hagadol works, or just the main Beis Din?
No, sir. So I think Rabbi Bengus, he said to Rabbi Yasha, I think what happened was, he said that, and I think that was Rabbi Yashiv's why he did it. He says, you're right, you can't have a Beis Din which is going to overturn a Pesach of a, because we're bigger Tamei Chachamim, it doesn't work like that.
No.
He says, what they can look for though is to see if it's taka possible that they've been Toya, B'dvar Mishnah or something like that. And if they taka been Toya B'dvar Mishnah, they have to retract it. They have to retract the Pesach.
Right. Apparently, what happened was, on Friday morning, these fellas, young Gedolim, to learn Rabbi Herzog, people like Lauerbach and Rabbi Yashiv, and they were very impressed with both of them, and he offered them both a job in the Beis Din.
Rabbi Yashin went to Rav Beng, but you had at that time, just think of it, you had Rabbi Yashin, you had Rabbi Vadia. I mean, these were...
No, this is early in the 50s. I mean, they're all alive.
I know, but I think together, you had sitting there together, they had Rabbi Vadia and Rabbi Yashin. Can you imagine that? It's,
At
one point, I know there were two of them. And then when the whole mice with the thingy, well, one left with that.
The case. Well, Yashin left. He left over the Lumber case, the whole business, Rabbi Dorin.
Yeah, correct. And Rabbi Vadia left over a different case, I think, eventually.
Well, he became chief rabbi,
I think there was
they
also.
Didn't get on at all. Okay. He became chief rabbi, it's still possible.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, fine. Absolutely fascinating. I'm sure there will still be more. I'm just having a look at the whole. The Marabach printed it. And,
Who printed it?
Marabach. The Maharal Bach is the son of the Mahari ibn Chaviv. Mahari ibn Chaviv is Ein Yaakov. They heard of Ein Yaakov from, right, the Ein Yaakov. So his son was Maharal Bach. He's a good Gedolei Olam, right? Also, we're talking about 500 years. 500 years ago, thereabouts.
Must be soon after
the. So what's the question?
No, that's modern day.
They got nowhere. I remind when I think the children's religion wants to set up a Sanhedrin. They got nowhere. They didn't get off the ground. But I think building Cambria Avenue was supposed to be a Sanhedrin. It's an interesting point because it was not a mission.
You wouldn't have had your issue.
I don't know. That's room. I can't remember how. I don't know how.
I have heard that they wanted to.
I don't think they got anywhere.
Okay, that's the. I tell you why in this sefer. I tell you what's so fascinating is because in this sefer, he writes at the beginning. One of the last things he writes on is he says regarding this very strong language. He says because at first it's very painful. You read the way they write. It's because I tell you something. If you read, I think I mentioned it. I don't know if I mentioned it here about that whole controversy on the machine and hand-baked matzahs. So it's mamish. You wouldn't. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe it if you saw the way it's one or two of the Gedolim wrote there. As somebody put it, they lost it.
Oh really?
It became
Shalomeshiv.
You write Shalomeshiv. The language he used, because it was also Shalomeshiv was the same, exactly the same sort of thing. It wasn't a Talmud. It was his brother-in-law. They were as close as you can possibly imagine. They brought out the same.
With his brother-in-law.
Yeah, his brother-in-law, Mogin Giborim. Mogin Giborim is one of the big sages Sfarim on Eruch Chaim. Yeah. They brought it out together, and they brought out various Sfarim together. They for 20 they learned and everything was done together, and here was where the brother-in-law, I can't remember the name now offhand, he disagreed with the Sholem, and Sholemeshiv took it very very hard. And he wrote, "Shua." It's a pachad. It's taka pachad. When you see the Gemara says, the Gemara says it's the Torah inside. But it's just
The fact that it's not called to have machine break matzahs, does that sort of mean that it was the correct? It's for God. I mean, not everybody uses them, but essentially it's accepted.
But as they say, as for Hebrew, very often these things, I think the one I love, I don't know, check it out if it's true. I mean, I've never actually, you know, one of the biggest machlokes was between, I think the Yavetz and the Aris Tavash.
Yeah,
Rabbi Yosef Lavash.
But that was about... It
wasn't about Kamiyas.
About Kamiyas. One accused the other, I think.
Yeah, it was after the Shabbos to be.
Yeah,
the whole
part. It wasn't actually a Torah argument as such.
No, and a Hanabi. But I've been told, apparently, if you look, you'll find they're buried next to each other. I don't know if that's true. That's what they say. It makes for a good story if it is true. They say because they say once he heard, according to some versions of the story at least, eventually he did. The Yavet saw that the Rabbi Yosef Lavash was more called Kulin Hashem Shemayim, so really sort of he backed down. But that's why it was so far. There's a, and as I say, you see that here when the Maharal Bach brought it out, the way he refers to the Mari Bei Rav, there's no question about it. They had their disagreements, but it wasn't. When you see these Talmud and you read the Gemara, then suddenly now you learn the Gemara in Tanis, which talks about when you see a Talmud Chacham getting angry, don't suspect him. It's the Torah inside. It's a. Nope.
This generation.
I don't know. Okay, I'm not saying anything more than that, but yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It doesn't mean every Tom, Dick, and Harry's learnt a bit of Torah and he gets all worked up. That's the. Okay. Fine. We were holding just before the two dots yesterday, and the Gemara asks, Dekoi Emas, just before the two dots, we wanted to know, what day was this person making the Neder? Dekoi Emas to Konoza. Where is he holding when he makes this Neder to become an Ozer? If you say he made this Neder on Chvesa, Tuesday or Wednesday, any weekday, then, Kemen Dekol Alei Nezirus, once the Nezirus is Chal on him, Hechi Asya Shabbosor, how can Shabbos come along, Umafko Alei, and take it away? Meaning to say, if he makes the Neder on Tuesday, so you say, can't have wine on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, why? Because maybe Moshiach will come, right? But on Shabbos you can have wine. But, hold on a second, how can you have wine today? Maybe Moshiach's already come. Right? So to that the Gemara answers, Ela Dekoi B'Shabbos. It must be that he made the Neder on Shabbos itself. Dekoi B'Shabbos of a Kornoda. And it's saying that day when he made the Neder, no problem. You can have the wine. Why? Because you know for sure Moshiach's not coming today. He could come tomorrow, but he's not coming today. Uvi Yom Tov B'Kornoda. Or he's on Yom Tov and he makes the Neder. Now who Yomar Hu Deshari Day? Only that day is Mutar for him to have the wine. Mikan the Eloch, from that point onwards, Osir Lei, it is forbidden for him to have it. And I actually meant to bring the Loshon of the Chazon Ish, by the way, just for Mr. Israel. It is a shorter quote, but he talks about this thing about the knowledge of the past. The way I don't know if I put it 100% right, it's a tiny little quote, they probably build all sorts of things. He says, the reason why they didn't do it in the past is, if I understood it correctly, is, for sure, the technology, when used by the right people, can do phenomenal things. But they were concerned that if it got into the wrong hands,
we have that problem today.
Correct. So they say today, they say you only have to look at planes and all these things. Look at you got to Iran and play. That's what they were concerned about. So why later on we thought we were clever? Okay, that's something else. But he writes it in a very short paragraph. The granddaughter.
The granddaughter and their niece, whatever it is. Exactly that.
Sorry, what was the story? It's a slightly different story. She went. She'd been taken there by one of his. She'd been taken by the Enlightenment, and she came to the Chofetz Chaim. And she recognized he was who he was, and she came along and she said my dear Zaid or whatever. Why do you sit in the finding? They call it Feinsternish or something. What's the German word? Like in the dark, darker.
Yes.
Finster. Yeah. Okay. Finster. I said the other day in a share. I talked about the Maginot's line. So my mother heard the shit. She said it's imagine like. So I'm gradually all these. Those not these shurim. Those sort of shurim. I think it's the lady things that I send on to her. So she's correcting my English or French and that. To her. Anyway, so as she said, but she said there's such a lichtige Welt, that part I can do now. A lichtige Welt out there. So the Chofetz Chaim said to her, my dear granddaughter, said, do you hear those planes flying overhead? One day, it won't be too soon, there'll be planes which can fly to the moon. That's something and he said something about, do you hear something like that? There'll be bombs that can destroy half a country or something, whatever.
I just thought it said it'd be used for bombing.
Whatever it is. There will be, I don't understand. He said, they're busy building planes and busy building bombs. We're sitting here and mere Machen Menschen or something like that. We're building huge.
It's positive from here, but from there.
I never understood that. No, it makes sense.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the cash of the Gemara? When is this Nozer making the.
Because if he's already made it, before he gets to Shabbos, how can he have a wine on Shabbos? How does he know that Moshiach doesn't come? Maybe Moshiach came.
What do you mean maybe he'll know whether Moshiach is
coming? How does he know?
What do you mean how does he know?
Same as the Yahu.
We just said in the Gemara, everybody will know when the Moshiach comes.
We didn't know.
But as you said the other day, the communications might fail that day.
Oh. You said no, that we said. The Gemara said that
we talked about.
Everybody will know when the Mashiach comes because even the goyim will know because they come and serve us.
No, that was the tirchol. Wherever he does come, he's going to disturb. When he does come, they'll know about it. But us in London and things like that.
But
What do you mean?
How do you know in London we're going to know about it straight away?
Well, the Gemara says that everybody will know. Otherwise, why would the goyim?
Talking about Eretz Yisrael.
The goyim in Eretz Yisrael would prepare Shabbos.
Correct. That's an Eretz Yisrael. But I'm making my neder here in London.
So you're just saying it's just restricted to the goyim in Eretz Yisrael.
But in that area, they'll know that.
In that area, so how many goyim are you talking about?
Again, all we want to know, is why will Eliyahu, why will Moshiach come on a Friday? Why is he not worried about Terach to Shabbos? Right. Wherever he goes, he's going to interrupt.
Right.
Those 100, 1,000, 10,000 families, what's going to be with them? The answer is, in that area, you've got plenty of goyim. It doesn't mean the whole world will know about it yet. I mean, again, to us it's a shock. What do you mean? Can you imagine Moshiach coming? It's going to be a secret? I mean, let's just take a look at Rashi first before we run out of time. So Rashi says, came on the Chol Alei Nazirus. Yeah? Once Nazirus is Michalon and Be'erev Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Misfeiko Al-Tasofik Dilma Osi Moshiach Hayom Lebeis Nagodol. Maybe Moshiach will come today. Again, the assumption is he'll go to the Beis Nagod. Moshiach will also go there. Heichi Mishtari Lishtos Lamachar B'Shabbos. So how can you allow him to drink, right? To drink the wine the next day on Shabbos. Leichosh B'Shvichosh Shesh Dilma also the Beis Nagod. Maybe Moshiach went to the Beis Nagod the day beforehand. But obviously around the Beis Nagod they're going to know about it. But about the people in the rest of the world. That was the discussion.
So the Nazir and the rest of the world.
Yeah, you've got 90% of the world wouldn't necessarily know about it. And obviously on Shabbos we're not going to be able to find out. So the answer is the Koi B'Shabbos. The Kanada, he's making the Neder on Shabbos, or the Yom Tov, he's on Yom Tov, the Kanada, and he's making the Neder. Konoma meaning to say, Keshekibel Neder Zeh. When he was Mekabel this Neder, Choya Shabbos, it was already Shabbos at Yom Tov. Behind Diktoni, that's why it teaches Mutzidishos b'Shabbos v'Yom Tovim. You can drink on Shabbos and Yom Tov, meaning to say Oisal Shabbos Oisal Yom Tov. That Shabbos or that Yom Tov. Shenod the Yemid Neder. Aber Mikam Eiruch. But from that point onwards, Os is forbidden. Ba'afidu b'Shabbos, even next Shabbos. Dilma Oso Esmo. Maybe he came the day beforehand, right? Dilma Oso Esmo Ben David. Maybe David Amelech came on the Friday. V'Chal Alei Nazirus. In which case Nazirus was chal on him. It's only on the day he actually makes it. There he doesn't have to be choshesh. That maybe Moshiach, no, because maybe Moshiach came today. Because I'm making the Neder on the day if he came today. Not yesterday. I'm not going to be Mekabel Nazirus backwards if he came yesterday. He's not going to come on Shabbos. He can't come on Shabbos.
Yosef hasn't come, so
that's Tosus. But we'll see about Moshiach Ben Yosef tomorrow. That's we'll get the Tosus there.